May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was reading in John 21, and I might share this with a larger group tonight, but I just caught my attention at the first principle of discipleship. It's laid out in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1. And the last principle of discipleship that Jesus shared with Peter in John chapter 21. And they're kind of fascinating bookends if you're going to be a follower of Christ, because the term follower of Christ or to follow me is used a number of times in those verses. But this is, again, just a reminder of this first principle of discipleship. It's laid out in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, this is the ministry of John the Baptist, beginning in verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he on whom behalf I said, after me comes a man that's mightier than I and has higher rank and existed before me. And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven,' and he remained on him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God.' And again the next day John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and said to them, 'What do you seek?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is translated teacher, 'where are you going? Where are you going to stay?' And Jesus said to them, 'Come, and you will see.'" I've shared this a number of times over the years, but I remember when I first saw this some years ago, Bill will remember this story particularly. Because of some business things that we got involved in, we got kind of taken advantage of, I owed like $40,000+ and spent months not trying to figure out how in the world I was going to be able to pay that $40,000. But the Lord just began to speak to my heart, just start trusting me. Just start thanking me for the provision before you ever see it. And that was the same as $1,000,000 to me, $40,000+. And I remember about this time of year, in November, as we were approaching Christmas, and there was something that had to be done before the first of the year. And God actually used Bill to put something in Bill's heart and showed me that I could do it. But before then, this is a scripture God gave me. He said, they were asking Jesus, "Where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." It somehow wasn't important to Jesus to tell them where he was headed. But it was important for him that they just simply would follow. You see, what I wanted to do was see and then come. Like, just show me how you're going to do this, then I'll come with a happy heart. But he was saying, come with a trusting heart, and then you'll see. We always want to see the outcome, don't we, first, so that we can come with a trusting heart. Well, that's not a trusting heart, because we live by faith, not by sight. And so I really saw that the Holy Spirit put this first as a principle of discipleship in the Gospel of John, because that is so significant, a foundational word to people who are going to follow Jesus. That faith at its core, foundation, one of the foundations of faith is simply coming and seeing. Don't wait to see before you decide to come. Just follow Jesus and you'll see when he wants you to see what he's going to do. Important thing is you're going to see him do, but just come trusting until you do. The other thing, and that was a real liberating word for me. The other one is this. From John 21, after reaffirming to Peter to feed the lambs, to tend the sheep. And then he says to him in verse 18, of the last chapter of John, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to grow, gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you stretched out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. And now thus he said, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me. And Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned back on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Talking about John. And Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And this saying, therefore, went out among all the brethren, that that disciple would not die, which is funny. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. It was important for the Holy Spirit to repeat this. But only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is sort of the bookend, the first principle. Just learn to come by faith, and you'll see. Don't wait to see to come. And secondly, quit comparing your walk with the Lord with everybody else's around you. And comparing the results in their life and thinking somehow, I had somebody I talked to this morning who lived out of state, who was not one of my clergy in my diocese or province, who's an older person and who feels like they're a failure because their church isn't bigger than it is. And I just think that's a tragedy, that they've done everything. This person's very faithful. They've done everything they know to do. How come it can't possibly be God's will for somebody to have a small church? And I really believe that's a curse in our culture, that we judge success based on numbers or numerical stuff. Some of the most anointed men and women in this country may never write a book, and they may never speak at a conference. You may never hear of them because we judge success through the eyes of the world. Jesus judges success by, you follow me according to my plan for your life. What is it to you what everybody else is doing or not doing? Because that's a killer. Because you can't be introspective like that, comparing to others, because one, you'll get jealous and envious and feel guilty and ashamed because you're not as successful as you thought you were going to be. And I run into this with clergy all the time. I don't think it's exclusive for clergy. I think it's for Christians in general. Well, that person's doing that and God's using him this way, and how come I'm not being used that way? And Jesus said to Peter, what is it to you? He says, I love this. He said, what is that to you? And he repeats it again. You simply follow me. There's real liberation in that. What is it to you what I do with somebody else's life? You just follow me. You just be obedient to me and you trust me. And then you'll be as successful as that person or anybody else who's ever lived. What is that to you? And sometimes you have to say that to other people who may be trying to push you or compare you to other people and go, why aren't you? I've had that happen to me. People who love me, but they wanted my ministry to look like this prophetically as opposed to maybe like this. And I've had to at times stop and say, what is that to you? I got to follow Jesus. As long as I know I'm following Jesus, what is that to you? I can't let you dictate. I'm not supposed to follow you. I'm supposed to follow Jesus. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.